You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The UFC Buzz Podcast with Gareth A. Davis. Exclusive to William Hill. Listen online at audioboom.com or subscribe at iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts.
Hello, everyone. Welcome along to the latest edition of the UFC podcast here with William Hill. Good to have you with us ahead of UFC 208 from the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York. Dave Kellner here in the studio with the BT Sport pundit Gareth A. Davis on the line right now. First of all, a warm welcome along, Gareth.
Thank you, Dave. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
We've got five fights, a big night of fighting action in New York on Saturday night. And we'll start with Dustin Poirier versus Jim Miller, which is the first bout on the main card, lightweight contest here. And Poirier, a very short price with William Hill, Gareth, 2-9 to win the fight. Miller is 100-30. Poirier, relatively recently, moved up from featherweight to lightweight, and that decision looks like being a good one so far, Gareth. Knocked out three opponents in four fights since switching weight classes, but found himself on the wrong end of a knockout last time out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think, you know, it's very interesting odds here. This for me is a pick-em fight, depending on who does what on the night. Jim Miller comes into this fight. You know, he'd lost four out of five in the middle of last year, and then he went on a great win streak. Takanori Gomi, Joe Lozon, and Thiago Alves. All three great victories for him. Fight of the night, catchweight fight against Thiago Alves, because Alves missed weight back in November in New York City on this brilliant card. I was on, obviously they're back in New York this weekend, but Brooklyn, not Madison Square Garden. It's historic moment again tonight. On paper, on the odds, you would pick Poirier is the form stylist. He's such a skillful fighter. He's very decorated. He wasn't sure about what division to be in. He's got the big loss on his career was, of course, Conor McGregor. Back at featherweight in 2014, September 2014. But he's had some really good victories. Yancy Medeiros, Joseph Duffy. Nearly said the Irishman Joseph Duffy is a Brazilian then. That's what happens when you cover MMA. Bobby Green, the great Bobby Green, had a great victory against. Michael Johnson can beat anyone on his night. And Johnson, southpaw, very dangerous. Caught Poirier early and put the Louisianan down and away and out. I'm going with Poirier in this fight, but listen, I was 0-3 last week. A couple of the underdogs came through and were fantastic last week. Felice Herrig was brilliant last weekend and won through. As I said, I probably should have backed her in the end. But there are so many different outcomes in MMA that you never really know what's going to happen. Poirier, for me, is the form guy in terms of ability. Miller is the form guy on paper coming into this contest. But I'm going to go for Poirier by decision or by late stoppage.
2-9 Poirier to win that fight. Miller is available at 100-30 here with William Hill. A slightly tighter fight as far as the odds are concerned is Glover Teixeira versus Jared Cannonier. And Teixeira is 8-15 to win the bout. Cannonier is in the market at 6-4. Cannonier has only had three UFC fights so far, yet to fully commit to the sport as well. Gareth is splitting his time between training and working a regular day job. Surely that can't continue for too long.
I think it's a brilliant story. This guy, he's not a big man. He's only 5'11" tall, which is quite short. Only the likes of Rashad Evans and people like that have managed in the light heavyweight division at that kind of height. But he's a very powerful man. He's fought at heavyweight as well, of course, 2011 to 2016. In Alaskan cage, basically Alaskan cage fighting, and you can imagine that those guys are, when they're not hunting bears and all that kind of thing that they do up there, or whatever they do up there in the snow and the cold in the winter, and probably wrestle naked in the snow. I shouldn't be saying things like that. With giant nappies like sumo fighters. The killer gorilla, as he's known. He's working for the aviation authority. It's a very unusual sport. There are some very unusual characters. Cannonier is a guy who, as you rightly say, is just beginning to take this sport seriously. Three fights in the UFC, didn't do great against Sean Jordan, the former NFL player, who's a very powerful guy on his side, also a short, stocky man as well. Knocked him out, as so often happens in the heavyweight division. He's dropped down to light heavyweight. He's looked good against Cyril Asker and Yayan Kutaleba. And, you know, this is a very good fight for him because, you know, Glover Teixeira, since he came into the UFC, has always been a name. He's a wrecking ball. And the thing is about Teixeira, right up until he fought John Jones for the title back in April 2014 in, I think it was Baltimore, back in Baltimore, and Jones looked brilliant against him. He's had an up-and-down time, you know, losses to Phil Davis, Rumble Johnson. So it's a chance for Cannonier to really make a name for himself in this fight. And you know, he may well go on to do it. He's got to be oiled and quick and fast against Teixeira, though. Don't stand in front of him. Teixeira's got heavy hands, and he's dangerous when he's under pressure, as Ryan Bader found out a couple of years ago, nearly having him finished, but then being caught himself. So it's all to play for Cannonier. Be a brilliant victory for him. It's hard to pick this, but I think Teixeira's still got enough in him to take the victory in this fight, David.
Teixeira is 8-15 favourite in the bout. Cannonier is in the market at 6-4. Gareth going with Teixeira there at 8-15. On to Ronaldo Souza. He's in action against Tim Boach. This is a middleweight clash. And Ronaldo Souza, heavy odds on here with William Hill at 1-5. Tim Boach is in the betting at 7-2. A couple of veterans going head-to-head here. Souza's record reads 22-5. One of his biggest wins came against Gegard Mousasi back in UFC Fight Night 50. And Boach, a slightly inferior record. He's 20-10. Boach, and I think Ronaldo Souza probably feels like he deserves another shot at the title, Gareth, in this middleweight division. And this fight really could be, I suppose, damaging to Souza, because if he's beaten here, he won't get his title shot, and he must think he deserves one.
He really does deserve a title shot, Dave. Jacare, the alligator, is the most dangerous man on the ground in all of MMA. Once he's got you down there, he's the biggest, most dangerous fighter at middleweight, but also it's murderer's row in the top 7, 8, 9. Michael Bisping is facing the champion, of course, from Lancashire, England, is facing any one of, from Jacare up to number one challenger, Chris Weidman, Luke Rockhold, these guys, Yoel Romero. He is facing some tough, tough guys. Jacare Souza is one of them. Tim Boach, for me, Jacare is a much, much smarter fighter. Tim Boach is an old-school warrior, is a very tough man. The only way for me he gets into this fight is if Jacare foolishly stands in front of him and has a toe-to-toe battle early in the fight in his court. Jacare changes levels so brilliantly. For me, unless Boach catches him, hurts him and finishes him, which he's very good at doing, Jacare changes levels, takes him down and submits him early, as well as punching his lights out. For me, it's Jacare all the way. And I think you're right. I think Jacare gets a title shot sometime in 2016. It's Jacare all the way. And you hear this noise? That's the alligator's jaws closing on Tim Boach on Saturday night in Brooklyn.
Fantastic. Ronaldo Souza, Jacare, the pick at 1-5 to beat Tim Boach, who is 7-2. Let's move on to the co-headliners, Gareth, and we'll start with the middleweight clash between Anderson Silva and Derek Brunson. And Anderson Silva, arguably the greatest ever, is 11-10. Derek Brunson is 8-11. I say the greatest ever, Gareth, but we've got to go back 5 years. At 41 years of age now, for the last time Anderson Silva won a fight. He was the pound-for-pound king, undoubtedly. A record 10 title defences in his career, but not one for 5 years now, Gareth.
It's an extraordinary... Well, I mean, October 2012, so 4.5 years to be slightly kinder to him, but that's still 54 flaming months since he's had a victory. Look, you're right. He is the greatest single striking knockout artist that mixed martial arts has ever seen. The most dynamic, the most enigmatic in many ways, along with the likes of Fedor Emelianenko, the emperor, the Russian bear, who was one of the great fighters many years ago. And if you think Anderson Silva, as you say, last 5 fights, 1 no contest and 4 losses over 3.5 years. But before that, you know, I'm counting them up. I cannot remember how they, but all the way from Chris Lieben at UFC Fight Night 5, June 2006, all the way then for 6 years, 6.5 years to the victory over Stefan Bonner at light heavyweight, and all those middleweight title defenses where he was untouchable in many ways, and he japed and joked and jeered at his opponents. He belittled men in the ring. Now he's the wizened veteran who can't give up the sport. Can he return to glory another time? Manhandled by Daniel Cormier, beaten to the punch by Michael Bisping, and beaten by Heart and Desire by Michael Bisping in February 2016 last year. Lost twice in a row to Chris Weidman. His leg broken in half. You know, when you put all these things together, it's incredible that Anderson Silva is still fighting. Look, Derek Brunson is young. He's hungry. He lost last time out to Robert Whittaker, but he was on a 5-fight winning streak before that. Great victories over the likes of Uriah Hall. They're on different levels as fighters. And we always say with Anderson Silva, maybe the magic will come back. But Brunson's 33. He's nearly 10 years younger. And he'll put everything into this. He's very heavy-handed. I'm going to pick Anderson Silva. I don't care whether I'm right or wrong. I don't want to pick against the great man. I think he might pull some magic out on Saturday night.
11-10, Anderson Silva. Is it all about his age, Gareth, or did he maybe believe he was invincible at one point and that was like a crux in his career?
Invincibility is a cloak. It's a cloak that fighters wear. It's a cloak that great sports people wear. But that cloak eventually evaporates through time, through injury, through vulnerability, through records breaking. As you said, you prefaced him with, he has not won in 5 years. You know, that's the key to this. That will be uppermost in Derek Brunson's mind. He will want to close the range, get his shots away, get his strikes away, be heavy-handed, get Anderson Silva on the ground, maul him, wrestle him, ground and pound him. And, you know, if Brunson does that, he will win. There is that the power, the magic is fading and disappearing from Anderson Silva as he stays in the octagon. I think he's gone on too long. He doesn't know how to stop. And, you know, but I want to pick him because I want some magic to rise from him on Saturday night in Brooklyn.
Let's hope it does. Anderson Silva, the selection at odds against as well. Anderson Silva, 11-10, the outsider in that bout against Derek Brunson. And we finish with the women's featherweight title clash between Holly Holm and Germaine de Rendemy. And Germaine de Rendemy is the favourite at 4-5. Holly Holm is in the market at even money. This belt, Gareth, was, I think, created for Cyborg, wasn't it? Chris Cyborg Justino, who she tested positive for a banned substance and has been suspended from the UFC for the time being. But I think it's a bit of a nightmare for the UFC that she's not available to fight here.
Yeah, it is. I mean, look, a lot of people would like to have seen her fighting here. She is a wrecking ball of a fighter. But, you know, look, people test positive for banned substances. They need to be punished. My view, Dave, is that in this sport, I don't know how many times we've touched on this in the podcast. We may not have discussed this before. But my view is it's not tiddlywinks. It's not a tickling competition. It's not hitting a shuttlecock over a net. This is about punching, kicking, elbowing, kneeing, throwing, wrestling, grappling, brawling with another person, male or female, under a contract on the same time, at the same time, at the same weight, on the same night, in an agreed place that they've known about for several months before. Taking banned substances for whatever reason, for me, in a fight sport, enhances your weapon. And for me, it should be a ban long enough that it affects half of your career. And I think the ban should be 4 years. Because we are going to come to the point one day when someone gets very, very seriously hurt. I don't want to say dies, but that could happen. Something awful happens to them in a fight, and the other person tests positive for something, and I think we're dealing with a manslaughter charge at that point. And it's the most serious thing, because it's a fight, and you cannot enhance your body, your arms, your fists, your physique, your organs when you're fighting someone with banned substances. That is the reason they are banned. So, you know, if she never fights for the featherweight division, I would not be disappointed for her, even though I think she's a great fighter and, you know, has been. But I have no sympathy when people test positive for banned substances, I'm afraid.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. And as far as this fight is concerned, we've got Holm versus Derendami now on this card. And Holly Holm, we know quite a lot about her. She's a technical striker. But it seems to me that Derendami has a little bit more range and slightly more power as well.
Yeah, she's a brilliant kickboxer and Muay Thai striker. She's fought at featherweight before. So has Holly Holm as a boxer and kickboxer as well. We lost, of course. Derendami lost to Amanda Nunes, the women's bantamweight champion, a brilliant women's bantamweight champion. It was a very, very fast fight. 4 minutes TKO win by elbows from Amanda Nunes. But Nunes hits harder than any... Nunes hits as hard as Cyborg. She hits as hard as a featherweight. My concern for Holly Holm is that she's technically adept, but that she doesn't hit like Jermaine Derendami does. She's from Utrecht, Netherlands. They have a kickboxing Muay Thai history. The Netherlands are big into kickboxing. They always have been. It's a big traditional sport in the country. She's known as the Iron Lady. It's a very, very even contest. They're both tall women. I think Derendami is about 5'9". And I think Holly Holm, maybe an inch or so taller, but round about the same height, 5'9", 5'8". But they both fight long as well. It's going to be a very technical striking match. And it will be about footwork and movement. It's very hard to pick a winner. I'm kind of leaning towards Derendami. But it wouldn't. Holly Holm was brilliant the night against Ronda Rousey, remember? She exposed Ronda Rousey in Melbourne, Australia, with brilliant movement and kicks and striking. And probably wrecked Ronda Rousey's career. But you're going to ask me not to get splinters in my backside, aren't you, again? For me, I don't know. Holly Holm's a clever mover. Derendami, if she gets into range, is going to be more dangerous as a striker. They've both got great teams behind them. The Preacher's Daughter, of course, has got Jackson Wink MMA Academy with Mike Jackson, Greg Jackson and Mike Winklejohn. They've always got a great game plan. And Derendami comes from, you know, the CSA Holland team who've always been brilliant at you know, game plans. And it's difficult. I probably will side with Holly Holm being very technical and winning on points. But as the fight goes on, we might see Derendami's toughness come into play if they go into the championship rounds 4 and 5.
If you do want to play Holly Holm on points, that's available at 9-4 here with William Hill. We do have full range of markets for the headliner, Holly Holm versus Jermaine Derendami, which is scheduled start time at 4 a.m. on Sunday morning. Gareth, if you put those five fighters you've picked for UFC 208 into an accumulator, that's Poirier, Teixeira, Souza, Silva, and Holm. That's just under 9-1 here with William Hill, 8.44-1.
That's not bad, is it? I mean, it's a big ask. I mean, it's possible, but it's a big ask. But if you've got a spare tenner, you know, you turn up the odds on Sunday morning. You know, I'll be tweeting and writing about it live, doing a live blog for the Telegraph on Saturday night as well. You know, this is another big event for the UFC. The coming to New York, it was a big fight to get UFC and MMA sanctioned in New York. And I think they're going to be coming back there 3 or 4 times a year. It's another historic event. And, I'm sure it'll be absolutely brilliant. They've got some big names on there. They've got some unusual matchups. It's kind of, you know, a name against a rising name. But I think it'll be a great card, Dave.
Gareth, thank you for your company.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in to listen as well. Make sure you follow Gareth on Twitter, at Gareth A. Davis DT, the BT Sport pundit and Telegraph columnist, and will be live blogging for the Telegraph on Saturday night for the big fight night in New York City, UFC 208. Make sure you check out this podcast via iTunes. You can subscribe and get it delivered weekly. And of course, check us out at audioboom.com as well by typing in William Hill. All the betting on the William Hill website right now. Check the UFC page out, and we'll be back very, very soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.